Selectmen's meeting, March 4th, 2020.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and it didn't look like anybody's here for public comment, so I guess that's...
Yeah.
A no-go.
It was the last time we had nobody.
Voting day town meeting schedule.
So the moderator has asked for a schedule or like the dialogue of who's going to go over which warrant article.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that tonight. Don Bormus is going to be...
I got to work that day, but I'll try to stop in there today.
Okay, well,
I'll come at 7 o'clock.
I've got Don Bormus coming to be assistant moderator. Since Tim is not supposed to be able, not supposed to touch ballots or the ballot machine, Don is going to be here all day. And I have John Heath coming in at 3 o'clock to be a selectman pro tem, just in case we need him. I told him to come in at 3 o'clock so I could feed him at dinner time, and he could be there to help with the dinner shift.
Okay.
So we got that pretty well covered.
But you will need the third person to count for...
Yeah, because if you can come in at least in time to do the count,
yes,
at night, we'll have two selectmen up until... We'll have three. John's going to stay through the count,
okay,
because Jim can't count. He can't touch the ballots. He can't even... This time it's very important that you stay on the right side of the tape.
No, you're saying I can't count. I can't touch the ballots. I can count
You can't touch the ballots. You can't even be on that side of the tape.
Is the moderator on the... Is he up for... Oh, okay.
And
the moderator...
And
the town clerk.
Yeah. The moderator, the town clerk, tax collector, and the... And Jim. Those are the three most important, because Julie can't touch the ballots. And she can tell people what to do, but she can't... So we've got some people coming in to cover that. So that's taken care of. What we do need to discuss is who is going to talk about which warrant articles. And I just did a quick perusal, and we can, of course, Article 1, the Budget Committee does, so we don't need to talk about that. Article 2, the modification of the life safety building. I think you know the most about that, so if you could introduce that, and then if anybody's got any questions. Capital outlay, I didn't have anybody down for that. I don't know who wants to.
I mean, I was on the CIP committee, so I can do that one.
Okay. Article 4, the cruiser.
But I think in some of these articles... Like Jim knows a lot about the stuff we're going through. I think it'd be helpful, it'd be good, it'd be smart politics to have the Budget Committee involved in making a motion and second and maybe a little brief synopsis.
Yeah, and I want to, when we do discuss that, I want to tell the attending public that we initiated a new procedure where the selectmen and the Budget Committee work together and you know, tout how well it went this year. So Jim's going to do capital outlay. The police cruiser, I'm the liaison, so I'll do the police cruiser. Trust fund, Jim, I think you're the most knowledgeable on that. Transfer to the capital reserve, I can do that.
Okay.
If you want. The amendment to the solar energy property tax, I'll do that since I'm the liaison to the group that put that together. The sale of the town-owned property, Tom, you want to do that one?
I don't know much about it, about the piece of land.
There's not much to know.
Yeah, it's just we're selling a piece of property that has been deemed you know, not really worth much.
It's not buildable.
Yeah.
Selling it as of one.
Jim did a little bit of a write up on it, if you could.
Yeah, I guess the lowly clerk can do that.
Okay, so then that's the last one, the petition warrant article for the paving of Dr. True Road. I don't know what we can talk about.
I don't think we do anything.
Other than having the people who signed the petition talk up and stand up and talk about it.
Well, what can we do to offer them some hope, put it that way?
For this year, there isn't much, but next year, nothing.
Next year,
if we can get them to get together with us, and we'll write the warrant article the way it's supposed to be written, the proper way.
Maybe that would be the appropriate response at the meeting.
Are
we willing to work with them to?
We can get Johnny to give them some preliminary figures and things that they can use to put the warrant article together, because that's...
I think that gives them some...
No, that's what it's lacking. It's lacking body to the thing, and I don't know where they got their information that all they need to do is to put it in as a petition to the selectmen, but...
Well, I think that should be stated publicly, that we're going to work with them to write a correct petition warrant article.
Yeah.
And work with them during the year to get some estimates on their project, and hopefully bring it back next year to town meeting.
Yeah.
That gives them, I'm trying to say, that we're supporting their effort to get a project done in their neighborhood, even though...
Who knows? We may be completely surprised, and when they go to a vote, it may pass.
Well,
but I don't think so.
And the point is, we're not trying to shut it down by just because it's a bad. It's not written correctly. Got it. We want to give them a fair chance to get it in front of the legislative body and see if they, with all the right information. But it didn't happen this time. There's nothing we can do to fix this one. Better to take the time this year and have it ready for next town meeting.
Yeah, and have a good warrant article come out of it. Okay, so that's...
John, do you want to adjust that with them?
I can if you want. I can discuss it.
They did come in after our last meeting and asked to see some of the study that...
Oh, the traffic study?
Yeah.
Underwood?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Road study, and I gave them that information, and... I did tell them I would contact the engineer of that project. I just haven't had the opportunity to as of yet.
Because the message is that we're willing to work with people as a board for the selectmen.
Yeah,
I
said it was unfortunate the way this unwound for them this year, but we can help them.
And I think also, too, Johnny is, he's amenable to, paving the roads, or that road or in particular, because of the way that stimulus money was put in, and then how it, I believe the way that they had done that road previously in 2009 was to sort of try to reduce some of that runoff into the lake, and I don't think that's happening because of the fact that it's not paved.
That, and then they've tried to regrade it two or three different times so that the runoff does go where it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
One time they had the catch basins on the wrong side of the road.
Golly.
The catch basin was here and the water was running this way. So.
I mean, at some point it gets the maintenance that to do on the gravel roads gets to be more than the paving.
All right. So does that give you what you need for Tim?
You got the information you need?
Yes, so you guys are all set for election or for voting day, and then and I'll send him the breakdown of who he's going to call on for the. So how I've done it, or how I've seen it done in the past, is like, so you're going to, like, for instance, on article number 2, Jim's going to make the motion, and then who's going to second it?
Okay, yeah.
And then to talk about it.
Um,
I think that's what Tim was looking for.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, Jim will make the motion, I'll second it.
And then Jim will talk about that particular one?
And Jim can talk about it.
Okay.
Capital outlay, Jim will make the motion, I'll second it. For the police cruiser, I'll make the motion. Who wants to second it?
I'll second.
Okay.
Or you want someone in the budget committee to second?
Huh?
You want somebody from the budget committee?
How does
no, no, no. This is the police cruiser. The article I'll for the police cruiser. The trust fund, Jim will make the motion. I'll second it.
Mm-hmm. So that might be a good thing. I don't know. I'm not sure I've ever seen somebody from the budget committee second a motion, but that would be a good one because they support, this was really their idea, the trust fund.
Take the pressure off us.
I mean, I'd love to see, I don't know if he's going to be here, but I'd love to see Ralph.
Yeah.
Because it was really his, he's the one who brought it up, and if not him, then
I haven't
Craig.
Seen Ralph.
He's I know he's
yeah,
been
I know
away.
He's out in.
What's his last name?
Rathjen.
R-A-T-H.
Rathjen. R-A-T-H.
J-E-N.
Yeah.
6 foot yeah, seven.
Well, we can talk to the budget committee and see. If they want to do it, then I'll just step back and let them second it.
Is that number six?
That was five.
Five.
That was five.
The trust
yeah.
fund.
That's the trust fund. Number six, transfer to capital, I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
And Jim Dick will second it. The solar array, I'll make the motion. Who wants to, somebody want to second that?
Yeah. I will.
You will? Okay. Jim Dick will second that.
Is Ian going to be here that day?
I fully expect he will. Yes.
Okay.
And then the sale
be
of the
unlike him to miss town meeting.
Sale of town property, Tom will make the motion and I'll second it. And then
town property would be sold what month?
It says open, it would be a sealed bid open July 1st, 2020 or okay. later. So as soon as it gets approved, we can advertise it and then open the bids on July 1st.
I had, ironically, somebody call about that particular property.
Yep.
A real estate agent.
Good. Maybe we'll get bids. Mm-hmm. I've seen it where we've offered it for sale and nobody's yeah. bid on it. Okay, and the petition warrant article, I'll make the motion.
I don't know. I would.
Do we, because it doesn't say that we, maybe I'll just explain it. I won't make
yeah.
a motion
yeah.
because we,
let somebody.
It doesn't say selectmen recommend, so we'll just leave that. And I'll just introduce it instead of.
Yeah, Tim can ask if there's
a motion. Because that is actually a warrant article from the floor.
Right.
So.
Okay.
That give you enough to?
Yes.
Now she's.
I will.
If he needs more, just, you know, give me a call or give something like that. And
okay.
I'll get you more information for it.
Okay.
Two things. I don't think we need to have our town attorney present.
Okay.
If he's available by phone
yeah.
or
I asked
someone
him
in
that.
His office.
I asked him, and he didn't reply as to, I asked him about the phone thing, and he didn't give me a yes or no either way. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Nina.
Hello, folks.
Yeah, we need to close the loop with him on. When we had talked to him that one time with the other question, he seemed perfectly fine with not being here, if he didn't.
Yeah.
So.
And Tim needs to understand, from my perspective, that we're going to start the meeting exactly at 7 o'clock.
As opposed to what?
Huh?
Whenever.
Right.
Not going on and on and on for 45 minutes. For,
yeah.
accolades.
Yeah, because I know in the past our town attorney was a selectman in another town who had a, had their town meeting the same night we did. Oh. And so we always wound up getting one of his lackeys or one of his assistants.
No, no, not lackeys.
One of his assistants coming in.
Yeah, well, I don't, we don't have anything scheduled. I mean, it's right into business, so.
Cracking the whip.
All right.
Okay, so. So everything we need to discuss about town meeting?
I think so. So I, Julie and I ordered name thingies for me and Julie. That's a technical term.
Nameplates.
I know
those.
Okay.
We also ordered some
nameplates.
Yes, some skirting for the tables that are more permanent and not plastic. So.
Okay.
And I've got to call this. I have the audio gentleman all scheduled to go. Tomorrow we have a department head meeting, so I'm going to talk about making sure that Johnny and Nate are going to be able to be there to help set up. And
tell Julie to make up Jim's little badge so you don't have to wear a handwritten one this time.
Should we make it really special and sparkly?
No, just print it like the rest of them.
Unicorns and glitter.
Right, right.
Perfect.
He had one in blue that she hand wrote last time.
I found some nice like puffy stickers in the supply closet today, so careful what you wish for. So I think that we're all set. I don't know because it's my first time here. So if I've missed anything or if I need to do anything, please don't hesitate to let me know because I don't.
If I think of it, right now I can't think of anything else that we need to do based on past experience. So.
Okay.
You got it all.
All right.
Okay. Then in that case, moving on. We're going to skip the next one, and are you here for the school board update?
I'm actually the budget committee update. I'm not on the school board.
The school budget committee.
I'm the school budget committee.
The school budget update.
I'm chairman of the school budget committee for the district.
Yeah.
Do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we do that now? And
okay.
Since you're here, and then if you want to stay, you can stay.
You never know.
If you want to see Faith.
Oh. I'm on. So, my name is Nina Gardner, and officially my title is Chairman of the Winnesquam Regional School Board, School District Budget Committee. We are a cooperative school district. Beautiful.
That's what we're going to tell her tonight.
Nice. Okay. So, I thought I would come in and talk to you about what has caused the increase in Samerton's share of the school district budget. And there are three things that have caused. It's Winnesquam's tax rate will, Samerton's tax rate will go up the most of any of the three towns this year. And that is because of three factors. The main factor is that the formula runs off of equalized valuation. And equalized valuation coming from DRA is used by the schools is a year behind. And so the effect of the reval did not hit last year. It hit this year. And so we have become an incredibly wealthy evaluation town. Because I also work on the School Funding Fairness Project, which is the group that is involved with school funding and trying to get the state to do its thing, I have learned a great deal about all of this, more than I ever knew, which is hard to believe that there was something I could learn. And Samerton is a very, very wealthy community in terms of property value. And 1970, none of this mattered. Properties were not highly valued. Things like lakefront weren't factors. All of that is now part of what makes Samerton's property valuations high, particularly the folks on the lake. And we, in old parlance, and you will see this when I show you a slide here, and I can leave some of this with you. I just got it. I just picked it up. They worked on it all day. Our equalized valuation is just shy of Tilton's. We are probably 1.5 times what Northfield has. And so even though our funding formula runs off of 70% ADM, thank God, and only 30% EV, we have a lot of EV, and so we're picking it up this time. The other factor in this budget is that we are down in terms of state funding. The state changed the funding arrangement with some help from the School Funding Fairness Project and others. And the impact of that is we all got our adequacy money again. We all got the stabilization money again, which was never a whole lot for San Bruton in the first place. But we didn't get anything called disparity aid. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to show you a slide in which I believe I'm going to tell you our cost is, in fact, we're down $120,000 worth of state revenue. I don't know where that slide is yet, but I thought it was here.
If anybody ever wants an education in the school thing, sit on the board that sets the rates.
Right. I
learned a whole lot. Oh, yeah. When
it's really true, the formula study committee.
Yep. Yeah.
And, okay, I can tell you exactly. The change in the 2020-21 budget, Northfield is getting $736,750 more in state aid than last year. So they're the winner. We're down $102,428, and Tilton is down $28,235. So that is a huge part of the other piece. And then the third piece is the budget is up. So you've got increased spending, you've got decreased state aid, and you've got the equalized valuation ticking in. So as of today, I'm trying to find out if this is today's number. They're still playing with it. Our dollar, we are down to about a 4.83% increase over last year. And our revenues are down because we did not get, nobody in the state got Medicaid money for our students that receive medical services. The legislature and the governor, I believe, as of today, have finally fixed it. I'm on the Board of Medicine, and we did our thing today to authorize providers to be approved for these services. And we believe we will get money next year, but we lost $275,000 this year, and which is why we froze the budget. And there's no $275,000 worth of revenue in here for next year. And because there's no revenue on the revenue side, if we get that money, which we expect we will get something, it'll offset taxes because we won't be able to use it for anything else. So that's what I mean, that is sort of the story of this budget. The other factors in this budget are, and I should tell you the other tax rate issues because you might want to know since it's always interesting. And in the taxes in Northfield, which went up $1.98 last year, are going down 69 cents a thousand this year. I should tell you that if Northfield had not gotten all that aid, their taxes would have gone up $1.20 more. So, you know, it is this state aid thing, okay? San Bruton is $1.54.8 up. Tilton is up 19.9 cents. Tilton has gone up every year for the past 8 years. Tilton has the unfortunate combination of more kids generally and a fairly high equalized valuation. So on the funding formula, which is 70% ADM and 30% EV, they seem to get hit every year. And they no longer are getting huge amounts of state aid, because effectively what they did in the legislature to this point is anybody who has more than about $1.1 million in equalized valuation got no aid. In terms of equalized valuation, we have about $1 million something. I'm going to tell you in a minute if you really want to know. So that is sort of the first thing I can tell you about all of this. The operating, one of the things you will see in all of this is that the percentages changed. We have more children this year. Last year we had 25.34% of the enrollment. This year we have 26.82%. So we got a little more kids. In terms of the EV, we had more EV. And with that said, we, in case you want to know, we have 318.99 kids. Northfield has 595.93, and Tilton has 458. So we have 23.21% of the kids, And that is, in a sense, a bit lower than normal, even though it's up this year from last year. But as a percentage in the district, Northfield is 43.37, we're 23.21, and Tilton is 33.40. So here's the next part of the story. Northfield, that has 43% of the kids, has 24.66% of the equalized valuation. They have no money behind their kids, okay?
Higher percentage of kids, but
no value.
30% of the
right.
Less money.
Less money behind each kid, which means, ironically, their tax rate is higher percentage-wise. But then it's offset by $700,000 worth of aid. Tilton has 33.4% of the kids and 40.11% of the EV. Okay, not we have 23% of the kids and 35% of the EV. So we are the, we've got the most disparate piece in terms of the EV. And for John, who sat on the formula committee with me, you know, there was talk about this whole thing. Catherine Dawson from Tilton proposed at one point we push up the ADM. Clearly, it would be lovely if you could push it a bit, but in long and short of all of that is, right now we better just sit on all of this, take the hit for the year, and see what the state does next year. Mm-hmm. Because the money that Northfield got is one-time money. There's no money in the budget for it next year. So Northfield will lose $700,000+ next year. We have nothing to lose because we didn't get anything, particularly. Okay? Yeah. But this is our bad year. The drivers in the budget are salaries, benefits, student transportation, health care, and special ed. And we now are calling this student needs, so that we don't hang that population out to dry and don't turn the community against people with disabilities. And it's hard for me to change my vocabulary at this point in my life. Tom?
The question on that is students who currently have an individual education plan,
yeah,
they would still be eligible for Medicaid reimbursement.
When it's restored.
Huh?
When it's restored, yes.
They had that anyway.
But they took it away because the feds found the way New Hampshire was doing it was wrong. That the people who were ordering the services, and you may know something about this, I don't know, but the people who were ordering the services were not health care providers in the terms that Medicaid understands.
So the entire state of New Hampshire got
lost.
Turned off.
Everybody got turned off.
No federal
money whatsoever.
Medicaid funding at all.
Right.
That's what she was saying. They've just
restored.
Got everything lined back up again, so
right.
We should get that money turned back on.
Right.
Medicaid, if they restored it, Medicaid is 3 months retroactive.
It could be, but we've got to submit everything to justify it, which is what they're working on. They're going to try to, and in terms of our most serviced children, they're going to try to do that. I mean, what it now is going to require is that an authorized professional who has the knowledge and knows the student is going to make an assessment of the kid to know that I need speech therapy. And that may be that I've seen a speech pathologist, or maybe that my pediatrician can tell me, and they're going to then issue an order which the school district can then bank with Medicaid to get the money back.
Are these not children who are already coded through EI?
Sure they are.
Oh.
But they took away this chunk of money.
Oh.
And they also took away about $75,000 worth of foster care money that foster families got. So we lost $275,000 in September, which is why they froze the budget, because they just didn't know what to do. And then we ultimately got a very costly special ed placement. I don't want to say it.
It's all about giving better justification.
It is, and the right personnel.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes some sense. Vermont faced it a couple of years ago and dealt with it. Massachusetts did several years ago. New Hampshire should have figured it out. They should have seen the handwriting on the wall.
Should have, would have.
It's the New Hampshire story.
What she was saying earlier was that if the Medicaid does get turned back on, if that money comes in, it'll be too late to
for
put it in the budget. But if
they
use to offset taxes.
Right. It comes as unanticipated revenue.
Yeah. Now, you're not referencing the expanded Medicaid for kids?
No. I don't believe so. I think that's separate. This is the Medicaid that covers occupational therapy, physical therapy, that stuff.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Medicaid coverage that was in place with reimbursement for disabled kids that have an IEP, that's been in place for years.
It has, Tom, but the federal government ruled that New Hampshire was not following proper standards in who was making the determinations of the need and who was ordering the services. And so Henry Lippman from Laconia and everybody at DHHS has been working pretty frantically for about 6 to 8 months trying to get this thing back in place.
Yeah. So last year, they decided, the federal government decided it was so out of whack, they stopped all funding to the state of New Hampshire.
Every district lost. Not just us, everybody. And so that is what everybody's working on restoring. We have zero revenue from that this year. So the school district got no reimbursement whatsoever. And we budgeted, we lost $300,000.
Was that issue within the scope of the Department of Education or Health and Human Services?
Health and Human Services. Health and Human Services did it wrong. Or got caught. I don't know who got it wrong, but somebody, they were the people caught. And then they informed the districts, and that's where we are. I was going to tell the story of this budget at one point, because it was a better story, that was about revenue lost and expenses and everything else. The revenue looks like it's going to come back. We've got pretty good assurances that the deal is going to be accepted by HHS in Washington. But for the immediate term, what's driving this budget is costs. And, we're not talking about unreimbursed costs. We're just sort of talking about we have kids with needs. We have a teacher pay raise package last year, which was easy to pass because it was fully funded by the savings in health insurance. So, you could stand up there and say, this is going to cost you, 11 cents on your tax rate. And it's easy to pass that because the offset was health insurance savings. This year, health insurance is up 5%. That's not horrible. But it's an increase. There's no offset to the teacher pay raise. So we've got a teacher pay raise in there. The paraprofessionals have pay raises. The administrators got some pay raises. Transportation costs went up. Are you having fun? 9.5%. I talk fast.
It's on tape.
I'm so sorry. That's how I earn my living, and this is how I do it. And it's so 9.5% on transportation costs. It's just what's there. And so those are the drivers in the budget. The budget committee cut a position with support from the school board. We made little adjustments where we could, but a $100,000 reduction in the budget is 5 cents on the tax rate. And so it just, we couldn't find it. I don't know what the voters are going to do. It clearly depends upon who shows up. The enrollment in the Winnisquam School District is an issue. It's declining. One of the slides we show, and I'll show you the slide so you can see it, and you can come to the meeting and see it on the screen, guys. The enrollment we project looks like it's up 11 students. We show right now, this is the October 1 enrollment, 1436 versus 1447. At some level, it's perhaps mythical because we are down 45 students since October 1. So, clearly the budget committee has said, and I think the superintendent heard it, the school board has heard us say it, they've begun saying it, our class sizes are pleasant. They're not over-enrolled. I'll show you those numbers next if you want to see them. Our class ranges are well low, same at the middle school and high school. We are well within state, this is district averages in state policy. We're well below those. But it isn't just who the numbers, it's who those kids are. And so if you have and we cut a class 2 years ago, and we cut a third grade class. And we had two third grade classes that had in excess of 50% of the enrollment having needs. And so you're in a class with 16 kids and half of them have other issues and stuff going on. It's just like having 25 or more. And so you can't really do this. I mean, I think this is something the school board's going to have to look at. There's no question that unless the enrollment picks up, you know, we've got a lot of staff. And the only thing you can move in this budget is personnel. And once you move personnel, you can move some other costs. But that is sort of the story here. So let me show you the estimated cost per pupil. You know, you don't want to know.
I don't think I want to know.
It's actually down.
Yeah.
It went down. For my first slide, as a result of the budget reductions, when you apportion it out after the joint revenue, which is about $1 million something, which it's not even $1 million, it's probably 800,000, everybody gets a share of the budget. So Northfield gets 9.8 million, Samerton gets about 7, and Tilton gets 9.2. And then we apply the average daily membership. We see the numbers there. So you come up with a total amount per student. And at this point, nothing is really terrible. Northfield is 16.5. Samerton is 21,980. And Tilton is 20,473. Then you plug in the education grants. Northfield State Education Grant is $5,901,649. Samerton gets $1,576,419, and Tilton gets $277,395. That then produces aid per student. Northfield gets almost $10,000 a kid in state aid. We get shy of $5,000, and Tilton gets $6,000. Isn't this amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you go to district assessment, the amount to be raised by taxes. Northfield raises just shy of $4 million in taxes for almost 600 kids. We raise $5.4 million in taxes for 318 kids. And Tilton raises $6.5 million, roughly, for 458 kids. What does that mean, the assessment per kid? We're assessing the town with $17,038 a kid. Tilton is $14,122, and Northfield is $6,000.
So we're like the donor town.
And let me tell you, Trish, the real donor story. The real donor story that I've learned just recently, and I've got to find that slide for you, is the issue of SWEPT. Okay? SWEPT is the statewide educational property tax. So we will give you a tax thing to raise, and the state will give you SWEPT. And I've got to find the slide. Where is it? I have just learned all about SWEPT. And SWEPT is raised based upon an amount the state has set in statute. And I want to say it's like $367 million. And then they apportion out to each of on a statewide average, how much that needs to be raised in taxes. And it's gone down every year. Originally it was $6.60, and it's now down to $1.92. Do I have the damn slide? I have this left slide. Maybe it's in here. Maybe it's in this one. It is SWEPT. Statewide aid. 1 year only adequacy apportionment. We raise, and you will see this someplace in your life, and I don't know where you see it. We raise over $1 million in SWEPT. We only need to raise about $560,000. So we get to keep the surplus. And that surplus is used to offset, I don't know where this is. That surplus is set aside, but you can hold on to it because you've already raised it. Northfield gets money from the state to supplement that SWEPT. We don't. Tilton also holds on to some of its SWEPT. All of us always thought that this statewide educational property tax went to Concord. Doesn't. It's held on to locally. And so that money is here. Now, the thing that we all need to watch for is the legislature has begun looking at that and saying, well, maybe we should hold on to this excess SWEPT. And the excess SWEPT is about $26.9 million statewide. And the communities that produce that are about 25 or 26 what's called donor communities. And before the statute changed, that money used to go back, that excess money went back to the state, and they redistributed it. And people sued. And so now we at least raise the money locally. We raise too much because we don't need to, under the formula, raise that much, but we at least hold on to our own money. And we don't give it to Northfield. Or we don't give it to Raymond. Or we don't give, and Portsmouth doesn't give it to Concord. Okay?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of these moving pieces out there, and that was one that I'm really interested in to make sure we don't. Oh, here's where it is. Maybe it's on here. I can find all my right sheets of paper here. I just got all of these things you need to know, literally.
So is that excess swept just maintained in separate accounts within the school budget, or
it's retained and it's credited to Samberton? And so when you get the bill, you don't get. Oh, come on, Nina, where's that page? You don't have to raise more money because you've already got some, is really the answer. That's not these.
So it's kind of like an unassigned fund balance in that.
Right, okay, here's what it's called, the retained tax. And here's the retained taxes. Northfield has a retained tax of $694. Samberton has a million something, and Tilton has a million something. This is the swept money. And then when you see how much you get in grants, you can see that Northfield gets most of its money from a grant, a little bit of it swept to get to the $5 million. Samberton gets, in terms of grants, $568,000. We have retained swept money of $1,066, which when you add them together gets you to that $1,005,000 number that we saw as being Samberton's aid. This retained tax.
Not really aid. It's
not really
it's our
aid.
Money.
It's our money. And the story of the statewide education property tax is that when the school funding thing went to court, one of the things the court said is that when you levy a tax, it has to be uniform and equitable. So the deal became, okay, we'll have a statewide education tax. But they really didn't want to make it too high, because they really never wanted to fund a lot of money for the schools here. And so they started out at $6.60. Can you imagine if it was $6.60 now? It's $1.92. So we've reduced over time the amount we're raising in the statewide property tax because it comes off of valuation again. You know, this whole issue of your assessed value. So at $1.92 against Samberton's assessed value, you raise X amount of dollars, because the amount to be raised by SWEP statewide is capped at like $367 million. One of the guys on the Education Study Commission said, God, property tax values have risen in the last decade exponentially, like doubled. Everybody's house is worth statewide over 10 years twice as much. Yet we've capped this stupid tax at $367 million, and so that meant that the $6.60 of a tax rate has declined over the years, and the tax rate for the statewide property tax is only $1.92, because we're only raising $367 million. Where's the rest of the money being raised? Off of the local property tax and or the grants. And if Samberton doesn't get many grants, and Tilton doesn't get much, and we've got to come up with this money, it's all coming off the property tax. So that's my story of where we are. And I, you know, I've done this for a long time. And I find it fascinating. And I find it challenging. And this is the story. The budget increase is $1,251,481. You know, it's up $1.25 million.
But 2%, I think, wasn't it?
No, Jim, it's 4.83. Over last year.
Oh, was that much?
It is that much. You know, at one point, we were at 5. We started at 5.4. And at one point, the tax rate was $1.69 up. So we've done what we could. And there are those who think we could have done more. But, you know, I think, I honestly think that's a school board issue. I mean, I think for the budget committee to try to start to get into the policy is not the right place. You know, I think it's a good budget committee. I got to tell you, we all work well together. They pushed hard. They pushed the superintendent very hard, and which was important to do. And I think he responded. But there's nothing here we can do. I mean, our utilities are watched. We've got solar at one school. We've got heat pellets over here. We got the big biomass plant down there. I mean, we've done those things. Now, just so you'll know, because you should know, the last thing that you need to know is that as part of the school district meeting on the Saturday, the 21st, there are the usual capital warrant articles. We put aside each year $450,000 of unreserved fund balance, should it exist. And we budget, our budget contains a reserve of 3%. So we target that we will have 3% left over each year to fund the fund balance, which we need some of it to fund the budget. We need 3% of that fund balance as an offset to the budget, theoretically. And then the other pieces are the warrant articles. And that is, we put out of that unreserved fund balance, we take $450,000 and put it in the capital reserve fund each year. And then there's the second warrant article that withdraws. And we've typically been withdrawing about $450,000. This year, there are two changes. They're asking to withdraw $100,000 from the fund so that there would be monies to do engineering and architectural studies based upon the vote of the preferential vote of the voters as to what elementary school options they might want to consider. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. And there's also $29,000 being withdrawn because Winnisquam has a CTE center, which is the, what is it called? It's something technical, Career Technical Education Center at the Voc Ag. And we are eligible for some federal money to improve the facility, which was built with federal money, and would require a 25% match and a 75% federal thing. It's a planning grant. There's money in there of $29,000 to enable a planning grant proposal to go forward for this, for that building and that project in education. I serve on that committee, so, you
know. In your spare time.
In my spare time.
I just got some grant notification from like the Northern Territory.
Right.
Did you see that?
I saw that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think we should look at that money, candidly. Yeah. You don't think we can look at it here?
I thought Belknap County was...
Belknap County is eligible. Parts of Belknap County is eligible depending upon the project.
Right.
Okay. Because everything I've seen from them, Samberton was explicitly not eligible, but...
I don't know about a regional co-op school, though.
Right. And so that's going to be part of that warrant article. There's another warrant article, which is the Capital Reserve Fund for Special Education. Last year, they drew down $90,000 from it. They're asking, again, to take $90,000, if it exists, from the unreserved fund balance to put toward the
replenishing.
I can't think of the words. Replenishing the Capital Reserve Fund, because clearly our goal was to get $250,000 in there, because we have kids that cost more than $250,000. And when they show up in the middle of the year, as they have been.
Unplanned.
You just, you know, that's the story of this past year. A kid at those kind of ranges and a loss of the Medicaid money, and you got a $600,000 shortfall. So that's what they're proposing to do. And the last piece is there's going to be a vote, a preferential vote on the building options, Union Sanborn, renovation, Samberton Central renovation, and or do nothing and let it just get paid for over time. And so voters are going to have a chance to express their opinions on that, which would then give the school board some direction as to what to pursue, with a plan that next year there would be a proposed warrant article to bring forth a project. And the timing of that is decent because 2022 is the last year of the district's $17 million bond. So there's about $800,000 that will free up along with bond payments. Whether or not the voters will do anything with this is unclear. So that's essentially what's going to happen at the meeting. And I so look forward to it. We had 9 people at the public hearing on the budget. 6 from Northfield, 2 from Tilton, and one from Samerton. They don't come. I don't know if they come to yours, but they don't come to ours. You know, this is essentially the presentation I made, which I probably did a better job with.
It was on a Wednesday night. So.
I know, and that's what it always is. I'm sorry. I know.
I read it in the morning.
I know, and thank you for catching the error. And it's online. It's posted. I think this is online. I'm not sure. And so it's there. I mean, I'm hoping that we can continue to encourage people to show up. People need to get into the practice of going to these meetings. And it's, you know, I know people don't like to do it. And, you know, we have some members of the cooperative school district that are difficult and make it unpleasant to be there, to be perfectly blunt. But our job is to be there because we need to protect our interests. We need to protect our kids. And, you know, I don't happen to believe we can personally do this on our own. You know, I found in the papers in my house, then I'm going to leave you alone. I found the papers signed by Peg Diamond, who I bought my house from, who signed in 1962 the cooperative school agreement with the Winnesquam School District, because at that time, kids from Samerton went to high school. This was a 1-8 facility. And kids from here went to Laconia side, went to Laconia. The kids in the square went to Tilton Northfield. And the kids over where I live now on the Franklin side went to Franklin. And Laconia had a huge increase in kids, didn't want our kids on tuition anymore. And so they panicked and went to Tilton and Northfield and said, "Will you take us?" And they said yes. So that's the story. And you know, we've studied a couple of times, what would it be to pull out? You know, we don't own any of this. It's all cooperative. And so, you know, it's what it is.
Pull out and have them be a voucher?
Or pull out and be do a tuition agreement.
Gotcha.
You know, that kind of thing. Vouchers are not my favorite word. So, you know, but they're okay. You know, New Hampshire's a school place that has interesting charter schools. And we have a charter school in Franklin. Where we have 24 of our students are in Franklin School. So I would be glad to answer any questions. How could you have a question?
It's so thorough.
It's so what it is.
You're absolutely right, though. I mean, it's such a large part of the overall tax that people pay, and
right. No
one seems to even be aware of what's going on.
Well, you know, the other piece of it, and I think you're going to hear from me again sometime soon, this community is old and aging. Mm. You are young. Trish is young. The rest of us are...
She didn't live here.
She doesn't live here. But this community...
Hey.
I mean, this community is aging.
Yeah.
And so I don't think we have 20% of our population that has kids in school. And that is a factor. I personally can't imagine a community without a community school. But I can tell you, the state is going to start to push everybody back together because the expense of the administrative overhead is significant, you know. There's no question about that. You know, Winnesquam broke away from Franklin right after I graduated from high school in 1492. And so we've had a longer SAU than most, but it's expensive. So I'm done.
March 21st, 9 a.m.
9 a.m. Yep. It's really my favorite time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Donuts and coffee for anybody who can't make it before breakfast.
And yeah, and sometimes they have the wonderful donuts from Brothers Donut Shop in Franklin.
Thank you, Nina, for coming in. And
thank you for letting me do. I appreciate trying to catch you up on it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
One of the older generation.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, we are almost at 6 o'clock. You want to try and get through the through trucking limits one? Before?
I don't have any ones.
That one should be fairly easy. It's just... It's just Johnny wants to know if we're, he wants to continue with what John Thayer started years ago with posting the roads for anything over 12,000 GVW.
The through roads.
So I guess I was just confused by the wording on the email where he said He started posting roads no through trucking with the board's approval, but he never completed it.
The project, I believe, didn't come to fruition. So there's some roads that he would like to have posted specifically that are being used as through roads from trucking companies that go from from our town to Meredith or any adjoining towns, and he doesn't find that it's appropriate to have those. He wants those trucks to stay on the main roads because that's what they're meant for, and the side ancillary roads are taking a lot of wear and tear because of it.
I just didn't understand what he never completed. So there, they've posted some roads, but Johnny wants to expand that list to the 20 or so that he's talking about.
So.
A little bit of history about this. The two biggest items that we've got on this are trash pickup and the fuel oil deliveries. Those are the ones that are impacted the greatest.
But those aren't three trucks if they're going.
Trucks are exempt.
If they're going to a house on a, and that's the access to get to it. That's not a through truck. It's the ones.
We had a really bad mud season, and the trucks that were picking up garbage couldn't get up to Steel Hill, and they had to get tips out and put them out there, and they had raw garbage sitting there for weeks, and believe it or not, a garbage truck, full garbage truck, weighs more than a full logging truck does. It's heavier than a full logging truck.
I believe it.
And the problems are, is these guys get in there and they get over on the very edge of the road, and they're breaking the edges of the roads off to where it starts to creep in further and further, and then we have to do a repair our roads.
Well, but that's a different. So maybe we need Johnny to have this conversation, because that's not through trucking, right? So through trucking is, somebody comes down. They're trying to go from Tilton to Belmont, and they go down Hunkins Pond instead of going Route 3.
Correct.
Anybody who's going to deliver goods or services, pick up trash, can't restrict that.
If you post the road, you're posting it for everybody, not just through trucking.
That's what he's asking
just
for.
Just for through trucking.
Yeah. No through trucking.
I think we need him to come in and, Trish?
Yes.
I think we need him to come in and explain a little bit further about this this program, maybe next.
Because he explicitly said no through trucking, as opposed to as opposed to the road, the spring road bans are going to go on for any truck.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's a different issue.
What he meant, specific trucks over in his email, I believe he wrote. Did he write in his email it's like 12,000
GVW.
Yeah, and then the next page up is the RSAs that cited that you guys do have the authority to post the just through trucking.
Yeah,
and I believe it would be all the time. It wouldn't be seasonally.
Right. There'll be the seasonal bans, the state's already posted 132.
Yep.
But then these would be permanent.
You get 132 going through, and then you can go from go up Bay Road and go all the way through to Meredith if you know the way.
I guess one of the things would be to see the list of roads that he's talking about.
Okay.
I'd like to see Johnny come in and talk to us a little bit more, explain a little bit more about it. I will say that I noticed that the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit went up on Lower Bay Road today, this morning.
Yeah, it was on Facebook. Oh, it was.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't see many people abiding by it, but it was there.
I saw Steve out on the road, and I saw him writing the ticket this morning. So.
I detect dissension between my two cars.
Okay.
I'll let Johnny know.
Okay. With that.
Oh, no. What's that?
Trucking limits tabled.
Hey, what are you doing here?
What? I don't know what you're doing.
I got it.
Yeah, right there.
We need somebody to take some pictures.
I can take pictures.
You're going to take pictures for us? Faith, the reason we called you here...
The reason that we tricked you into being here...
is that this year we have dedicated the Samberton... We have dedicated this year's report to you and in memory of your husband, Bill.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful.
We took a vote. It was the first name to come up, and it was a unanimous vote as soon as it came up. So there wasn't any discussion or anything else needed to be done. So, Faith, if you want to come up, we'd like to get a... Donna, I called Donna Rhodes, and she couldn't be here. She has to work with New Hampshire Television doing a special on her hometown. So she asked if we take a couple of pictures, if we could do that, she would do a write-up for us.
Sorry,
so, Faith, I can't think of better people to dedicate this year's report to than you two.
I thought it was too late.
Come on, guys. Let's see if we can get...
Looking good.
Come on, Faith. You get to stand between two really nice looking people.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye. You can stand right
here. Here you go, Faith. You want to stand right here and then hold this?
Yeah, you're good, you're good.
No. They've got to be able to see it. That's your copy. We're going to give that to you, and you can take it with you.
Yes, I'm crying.
Thank you.
Hold it up again, babe.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's been my whole year. Oh, so beautiful.
That's where we got the tissues.
You got them in this float. Oh my gosh. His hands. I'm still doing that too. Thank you.
Faith, thank you so much for all that you and Bill have done for the town. It's wonderful.
I'm so kidding.
We're absolutely grateful.
So, Bill loves since we have the family here, and also to get it on the tape, I'd like to go ahead and just read the dedication.
Yep.
If we could.
Do you guys want the copy?
So this year's town report is dedicated to Bill and Faith Tobin, longtime residents and contributors to our community. Bill was born in Concord, Massachusetts, and eventually made his way to New Hampshire. Along the way, he served in both the Army and the Air Force. One of Bill's many talents was as an auctioneer, a skill he learned early on from his father. In fact, Bill was registered as an auctioneer in the state of Massachusetts on the day he was born, making him the youngest auctioneer ever. He was frequently the featured auctioneer for charity events to benefit the community. Moving to Samberton, Bill quickly became active in the community. He served on many boards and committees, including as a selectman. He also served as a state representative, dedicating countless hours to representing the best interests of the town. Bill was also a past president of the Samberton Historical Society and chairman of the Belknap County Republican Committee. Bill was always ready with a helping hand or words of encouragement for whoever needed them. Through his hard work and dedication to Samberton and his residents, Bill lifted everyone around him and became part of the fabric of the town. Bill began his career as a home/building inspector after leaving the Air Force. He served as a building inspector for a number of towns and served many years as building inspector and health officer for Samberton. He and Faith operated Waterloom home inspections for over 30 years. Bill was a very talented woodworker who spent many hours in his shop creating beautiful pieces. He was famous around the state for his float of the Great Seal of the state of New Hampshire. His hard work and dedication to its construction and maintenance resulted in an iconic float that was a perennial favorite among presidential and state candidates across New Hampshire. The float represented Bill's love for New Hampshire and his pride in the state. Faith Tobin has been equally involved with the town over the many years the Tobins have lived here. Faith made great contributions to the Samberton Historical Society and Harmony Grange No. 99. Faith is a master gardener, and her lilies were favorites at the Historical Society's annual plant sale. She spent many years turning the Tobin's rocky home on Knox Mountain Road into the aptly named Woodland Gardens. In 2016, she helped organize a garden tour as a fundraiser for the Samberton Public Library and Harmony Grange that was a huge success. Bill and Faith both participated in the Harmony Grange's annual Scarf Tree campaign to donate knitted scarves, hats, and mittens by hanging them on downtown trees in Tilton for locals in need. Although we lost Bill to cancer in 2019, the legacy of service, friendship, and community that he and Faith displayed together remains a key part of the character of Samberton. We are proud to dedicate the town report to them, and we look forward to the years to come with the Tobin family.
This would have meant everything to Bill. He always called himself Mr. Cellophane because he liked to do things and not get publicity. And he never did. So here it is. This is awesome. It's just amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, but they're happy tears. So.
And we actually managed to keep it a secret from you until
my kids.
So the one thing I learned out of all this is she's devious.
No. I am not.
Why do you tell them girls are dangerous? Full of trouble.
Well, you know, we did learn it from somewhere.
This guy.
But now we.
A great picture, Bill.
It wasn't easy trying to get you here. I've had great meetings with Jim and Tom.
You. It's supposed to be a basketball game.
There is no basketball game in my school right now.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
All right, now you have to stay for the whole meeting. So we've only got about 2.5 hours left.
What's on the agenda, first of all?
Well, you missed a school board update. Yeah. So
I heard something about speed limits, so I should leave. I should definitely do that.
So
Riley. Hey.
Was Julie going to come in for... Can you give us an update?
Would you like me to go get her?
If she's, what? Are we can do guys here. You want to do the tree warden? Tree warden?
Tree warden? Oh, we can do the tree warden.
Yeah. You want to take a
skip down here
a couple of reports so you can hand out to
involved
a friend?
Yeah.
You've got plenty.
You want a Larry?
Yes.
Oh, Trish can give you an extra one.
They're all right in all those boxes.
Extra field 4-5.
I had to try really hard not to say anything at Grange last night.
Kids, I've never been secret from my kids.
Although I told everybody after you left, so.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so.
Let's go. Yeah, we need to go over here.
We want to move on to tree warden then?
I mean, this guy's here.
Guy, are you, you want to come up and...
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, Jim did most of the work with the picture.
Thank you.
You're late.
I know.
How's your mother doing?
Hanging in there, Tom.
She's got them all up to speed on the town.
Well, she's struggling. You know, some days she struggles and other days are good, but it's a tough thing. It's tough. She's a tough woman. She just, you know, go one day at a time. She doesn't want to die. She wants to stay with her family.
You get her out of there?
Not much in the winter time, but we'll take her for rides in the summer, and then the fall we'll take her. If the weather breaks, I'll start taking her. Show
the
house.
In the same room?
Yes, she's in the same room, but they're thinking of maybe putting her on the other side of the wing. They're not sure yet.
I'd love to stop looking soon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You can't be Italian.
Yeah. I talk more Italian now because it seems like because I sit with her that I just, she doesn't understand, she gets mixed up at times. So I'll start talking. I've brought back some of my Italian that I haven't talked for years. And so that's helped a little bit. But what are you going to do? It's up to God. Yes, and they take care of it beautifully, thank God. Yes, yes, they do, Tom. Thank God. Thank God. How you doing, kiddo?
Good, and you?
And how are you, Mr. Jim?
Hi, Jim.
Yes, nice to meet you. Heard plenty good about you.
Talking to the wrong people.
just shows to tell you anybody can lie. So I understand you want to become tree warden.
Well, I'll put it this way. I've seen it vacant for a while, and, you know, it's been my life pretty much is landscaping. And if I can be of help to you guys and you need a name, I'd be willing to do it. If you find someone else and you want to replace, it's fine too. But I just seen it vacant, and I said, well, if I can be of some help, I'd be more than willing to step forward.
Is Nina still here? Did she leave her things?
I don't. I guess.
Okay.
Well, Nina's stuff.
Things.
Yeah, so it's definitely, you know, since Steve Ober and Karen moved out of town.
Yes, that's right, yeah. I don't imagine it's very demanding. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think it's going to take up my life's whatever time I got left.
there hasn't been a whole lot of interest in
right.
it. There's been, like, one other person that asked about it.
I think the most important thing, I assume, is looking for trees that are probably not healthy and that could fall. I would think that would be the most serious of everything that counts. I mean, I have the ability of possibly bringing trees into town, and I do have connections that way that we could get some trees planted if you want some. If you tell me where you want them, I'm pretty sure I can do that. We can certainly get plenty of lilacs if you want lilacs. I'm chairman of the Lilac Commission, so I mean, if you need lilacs in San Francisco, you can get them anywhere you want. I'll just provide them for you. But if I can be of some help, you know, to say something should come up that you may need. That's what I did for DOT for years. So,
and I think that's, you know, as you were describing, the biggest thing is working with Johnny.
Yes.
On the roads, looking for diseased trees and trees that are going to become a problem.
Yeah.
So we get those identified, and he's got the resources to have somebody come in and take them down or trim them back or whatever.
May have to work with the state from time to time.
Yeah, and I think also we could use the Eversource or the utility companies to have them take some of the trees down. Maybe we wouldn't have to pay at all.
Right.
Maybe,
it's just a matter of identifying, like you said, which ones are are going to be a problem before they fall.
Yes. And there's one on Tower Hill, and I hate to say that because I live in Tower Hill, but there's one there right now that is horrible. Horrible.
Not the one that came down a couple weeks ago.
No, that was further up. But this one you can actually see right through it. It's a big, pretty good-sized maple, and it's got the big limb right over the power lines. If that guy goes, it's going to take a couple of pulls with it. That's real bad. But we'll see. I mean, I don't want to start doing things on my road because, I don't want to do something like that. But if it's a bad tree, it's a bad tree.
Yeah.
You know, so.
If it needs to come down, we need to get it down before it either hurts somebody.
This is a bad one. I think Eversource maybe would take this one down, I'm thinking. Because
if it's a menace to the lines, they definitely will.
Yeah. It's horrible. If you go up, it's on your left going up the hill. There's a couple of big old maple. You'll see this one that's really, I don't know sometimes how they stay up, honest to God. They're tougher than us, I guess.
Especially in the wind like we had.
I've been waiting for to come down. But so that's the only thing. I mean, if, you know, I've always said, if you've got someone else, that's fine too. But if I can be of some help, and some name that you at least can attach to it for this point, that's fine with me.
I believe Doug he met with his employers, and he does have a conflict because of where he's working and the connection with their arborists. So he would be ineligible at this point to be able to accept that position.
I think I know Doug, so I'm pretty sure I must know Doug. Which company is he with now?
He works for Eversource.
I'm sure I know Doug.
I think as we're heading into the spring, we're definitely going to have a need to have somebody help Johnny get out there and identify. I don't think we want to wait.
No, we're
going to
need
we have
somebody.
A volunteer, so hate to turn down free help. But.
Well, with all that being said,
So when I mow down my wife's flowers, you're going to come up and defend me.
Yes, I will. Absolutely. Well, which, not lilacs, though.
We had a lilac tree.
Yeah, you got it.
Instead of feeding the ash from the stove.
Yeah, you got it. That's right.
Oh, it likes that?
Yes, oh yeah, the ash from the stove tomorrow and all my lilacs.
Huh.
Yeah.
In that case, I would make a motion that we appoint Guy Ginta as the San Bertrand tree warden.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion of the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Congratulations.
Anything I can do to help you? I mean,
you
really, don't ever hesitate to call.
We need to make up a PAF for that or something or anything. That's just an appointed position.
Is there a job description at all?
There's not. No, not really.
They have it in the RSAs, and I've got all
you
the
have
RSAs
a whole RSA?
Printed. Yeah,
okay.
I got it all printed.
So
kind of ready.
I think probably the biggest thing is getting you together with Johnny.
Yes.
And figuring out how he wants to.
Excellent.
How to work it together.
Excellent.
He was very excited to potentially have somebody on board with them to do that. So.
And Johnny's a great guy.
So,
I love Johnny.
If you want to let Johnny know, and
yes.
Sometime in the very near future, if you want to get in touch with Johnny and arrange to meet with him.
Sounds great.
You can start coordinating.
Sounds great.
We even have magnetic stickers you can put on the side of your truck. So.
Is that
I have all of that stuff in my office for you.
No hat, nothing.
I don't know if there's a hat in there.
No tattoo. Or
there's a vest. There's a road vest.
A road vest.
So. Something to put on your car so that people can identify you.
Yeah. Okay. No, we appreciate it. I think anything we can head off, you know, in terms of trees coming down on their own would be good stuff.
Sounds wonderful. I think I'm, like I said, I can be some help, I'm pretty sure, and provide you some assistance in certain areas, too.
How's Marie doing?
Doing okay. She goes to Dartmouth tomorrow. She's a little afraid because they got those two cases, but they said don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So she goes tomorrow for her. She just got out of Brigham and Women last week, and they agree with everything Marie's been doing at Dartmouth. They may add a pill, but they're going to let Dartmouth make that decision. She has a thing called pulmonary arterial hypertension. It's a port that comes right out of her chest. Mm-hmm. It's the shrinking of the arteries in both the lungs and heart, so it's very serious. Usually you live 2 years. She's on her fifth. So we go day by day, but all in all, we're doing okay, Tom. Thank you. Thank you. And you never talk about yourself, so I'm not going to ask.
That's great.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to see you.
I'll get a hug.
I'll get your hug.
Man hug.
Italiano hug.
Okay.
Okay.
Moving on. Did you have something else?
No.
Okay.
She's just keeping
moving
us company.
Moving on, somebody wants to get Julian.
Okay.
We'll go through that.
Okay. Just hang on.
Well, including me. That's right. Yeah. Nice to see you as well.
Seeing you.
Bye-bye.
Is there anything else exciting, man?
Thank you, Guy.
You're welcome, sir.
Now we made Faith cry. That was about it.
Were you here for the presentation?
I was not. I was in with Julie explaining the budget to her.
Julie's going to need a few minutes. So did you want to talk about the CCAG?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, let's talk about the CCAG solar.
So I talked to Rob Jutton, who... as you know, worked here, works for cross-country appraisals. And I asked him about the cost, what the cost difference would be between, for the town,
right.
To have them come out and do per panel estimate or per panel valuation or the
average,
right. I'm not firing on all my cylinders today.
My grades will do that too.
Yeah, so... he said currently we probably wouldn't see much of an increase because he believes that they're all valued right now, but the more pickups that he does and the more solar that we get, potentially it could start adding up for the town to have the cost of the pickups be a little bit more. I think he said it was like $25 up, like every time he has to come out. So... he did go over the way that the tax exemption would work. based upon the per panel valuation or the average valuation of those panels, and it's really not a whole lot of difference.
Well, there's no difference, right? I mean, the only difference would be the number.
Right.
Yeah. So if, say you got a house that's $280,000 and they come out and they assess the panels in the system and say it's worth 30, well, now your house is 310, but you're going to get a $30,000 exemption, so you get taxed on 280.
Yeah.
If they come out, if they just take the average and say it's 20,000 per system, you know, now it's 300, but you're going to get a 20,000 exemption. It'll be 280, and it's all a wash. So, I think anything that costs the town more money and doesn't really change the outcome,
it would be better to do it on an average basis rather than having them come out each time and do an on-site. Then we got to pay each time for the on-site, and that racks up more money. And
we've got 50, fair number of systems in town, and residential systems. So.
Yep. So I can let him know if that's the way that you guys want to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to go with the average.
And then just on that topic, so assuming. Assuming that the Warren article passes and we correct the exemption to comply with the law, recommend, and we'll work with Rob and Terry and put together a letter that'll go out to all the homeowners that have systems so they understand the changes that are coming, because it will be a change for them.
Right. Two things, really easy. One, super easy. Yeah. So, for some reason, I get all the pole licenses.
Oh.
So, anyways, so I had this, didn't really know what to do with it. So I got advice to talk to Johnny. He went over them. This is for a new construction that's coming. Johnny said he's fine with all, these are all the same one for... And it says by Town of Samberton. So if these could be signed, these are four. There's three of them, and I just have to get them back. There's a new house.
We're in your neighborhood.
Yeah, there's a new home going in. He said he's already met with them too.
Okay, and these have been.
So Eversource puts the pole up. I guess so. They own it, right? I believe so. And Johnny says he just has to make sure it goes in the right space, and they've already marked it. But these people, they're going to be building a nice new home.
Mm. It's just my signature, not printed.
I'm not sure.
It says Town of Samberton, New Hampshire, by.
Yeah, I put your name and your title. So the last time I think I was in, we talked about if somebody pays it late and there's 12 cents in delinquent notices, and is it really worth the time and effort to do all that? And I thought maybe it was. However, what happens? Somebody got a letter from their mortgage company that they owe
back taxes, and it was 60 cents. So what happens is they call for files, anybody who's delinquent, and then that generates a good intent. My good intention was to follow all this, but it really makes a ton of work and stuff. So anyways, the woman who got that did come in and paid 60 cents. So I'd like you to consider adopting, is it adopting it? Chapter 17, Chapter 76, Section 7613, and it's on interest. Basically, up to $25 is my discretion to waive. So...
All Chapter 76, sections
13.
Yeah. This one. The RSA is there, but you would have to adopt it. That's what it is, right? So I did send out all those delinquent notices, and these are all the ones that were $5 and under. So I think it save a lot of time, a lot of paperwork too.
You know, I mean, Julie and I had talked about it, and I look at the amount of time it takes her to have to process all of those. You know, and then we're spending $1 in, you know, paper and postage to send out a thing for, and even if it's $5 or $10 or up to $25, it's still, it's taking time to do that. You know, in some cases, you know, I'm willing to trust her discretion. You know, when you know it's a situation where somebody didn't get the bill or it got misplaced or...
It, you know, I did receive a call from somebody yesterday she had called me. I said, oh, I don't have any notes on that. And then after we got talking a little bit, she says, no, I'm sending the check. So it happens.
Yeah. I know in the past we've gone as high as $100.
Yeah. If it's $100, that means it's been a long time.
It's been a long time, yeah.
But I think you look at that volume of notice, it's just kind of wasteful to...
So.
And that doesn't mean that you couldn't come to the board and asked to waive more than 25, but this is just allowing her under 25 that discretion to do it without coming to ask your permission.
Yeah.
There has been times when people do not get their tax bills, and everybody knows they're due, but sometimes you forget if it's a $50 tax bill or whatever, and so.
So I would make a motion that we adopt Chapter 76, Section 13 of the Apportionment, Assessment, and Abatement of Taxes to the Town Standard.
To allow the tax collector to waive up to $25 in interest at her discretion.
Yep.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Thank you. And just to let you know, this since the delinquent notices have gone out, a lot of tax money's come in. And we've some that have been outstanding for 3 years have been paid.
Wow.
So some properties have been sold and the tax money's coming in, that stuff that's been sitting for a long time. So that was
good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was $38,000 yesterday. So okay. I can give you a list on what percentages we are the next time we meet, and that'll give you an idea. So
anything from our favorite golfing property?
Nothing.
Mini golfing property, I should be clear.
Well, we'll wait till they open.
Yeah.
And we'll go visit them.
They were delinquent again.
Yep. So we'll go and. Yep.
Appreciate all the work you do, Julie. You worked hard, and I think so far I've been very successful in the job and it's management good. Of that particular office.
Thank you. It's going good. I have a lot of trainings coming up.
Good.
A lot of trainings, so I'm going to take advantage of them.
Are you going to have his badge made up for him, Tuesday?
Already done.
With the glitter. Like
I want a glitter and unicorns. That was my...
Oh.
I got to be careful because I will get that. I know.
Maybe a hat. How about fairy wings?
I did tell you about Don Bormus and John Heath.
Yeah, right? John Heath. Okay. Yep, he's on the list. Okay. And Don Bormus and Steve Cobb has offered to come and help.
Okay.
So we should be in good shape.
We should have enough.
We're You, Tim, and I are going to be bored because we can't do anything.
We did, yeah, and no Dick, and we tested the ballot machine yesterday.
Wait a minute. You can still do your job.
Just can't count. Did you count last time?
No.
I did. Well, not last town election.
No.
I did. But not the presidential.
He can't count, but he can do the rest of his job.
Yeah, you can do cleanup.
You can serve everybody's food.
All right. So, yeah.
We can send him over to check on the lunch and the dinner if they're ready.
Oh, yes. That's already been done, ordered. So, all right. So, I'll see you all Tuesday.
Bright and early.
7 o'clock.
I'll be here Monday night from 3 to 5 to accept absentee ballots.
Okay. I'll be there.
All right.
Thanks.
You.
You're going home.
Be another long day.
Willie passed away. The cat died.
Second of three.
It's the one with diabetes that you were...
Tom knows him. Yeah. What? Willie died.
Her cat, Willie, died.
No. William.
Yeah.
How old was he?
18. Diabetes, thyroid condition, cancer, and kidney failure.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty stubborn cat.
He was. His brother was Harry. He died 8 years ago.
My condolences. I know what it's like.
No, it's not that serious. It's a cat. You know,
yeah, but it was only a dog with me, and that was.
Yeah, but Tom knew Harry. William, thank you for putting up with me.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. See you tomorrow, Jim.
Yes. Yes, you will.
I hope you see Keith.
Yeah.
I sent him a reminder.
I saw it.
You know, yeah. I tried to call him all week. The phones were not working. And then the message machines were tied up, and so there was no answers. Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, moving on. Town Administrator's Report.
Here we go. So I'm not sure if you guys saw that our seasonal road bans will be effective Friday. Johnny got with other... towns, and we all posted our roads at the same time. So I think Belmont and Tilton and us will be all posted for the 6th of March. So I have contacted the people who host our website, Civic Plus, and they had a free module on being able to post RFPs. So I'm going to start using that to post the RFPs for the highway department and stuff like that. That's just a little extra, I guess. And we have had two safety committee meetings in the past 2 weeks. We had our property and liability insurer Primex out last week, and he went over the basic requirements of a joint loss management committee, of which up until very recently the town has not been in compliance with. So we have to have 4 quarterly meetings. We can certainly meet more, which we are at this point in time, because we need to make sure that we get in compliance with the Department of Labor. We have to file our safety summary forms, and we have to update our safety manual, which the only one I was able to find, I don't believe, has been updated since 2006, and they're required to be done every 2 years.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Yeah. So one of the things that we've talked about, though, is we're going to have to make some building changes to be compliant.
Yes.
So, you know, we can expect that Trish, through the committee, is going to come back to us with some requests to expend funds out of the town building improvement CRF, because we need to make some physical changes to be compliant with DOL and OSHA, probably.
Well, we don't have to be OSHA compliant because we're a municipality.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we are going, we have our next meeting scheduled in April, and the week after that, April 21st, the Nate and Ken, who is the representative for the fire department, the three of us are going to go and do the building inspections that, based upon the form that Primex recommends that we use, and look at all, everything, and hopefully be able to come back to the board with some recommendations based upon what we find. We did have an incident over at the transfer station last week where a patron fell, so it's almost timely that, you know, we're sort of talking about all the safety things and just getting into the muscle memory of making sure that we're reporting properly and doing everything that we need to do to keep the liability issues down for the town. Just a slight update. I don't know if you guys know this, but our health inspector was involved in a very serious accident a couple of weeks ago.
No.
And I'm telling you this because he's been unable to come into work. So I'm looking for some sort of, Chief Dexter can fill in for him while he's out. Him and his wife and his mother-in-law were hit by a drunk driver.
Oh.
And his wife had to have brain surgery because their heads hit each other. And Mike's he put all of this on Facebook, so I feel a little bit more comfortable talking about it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So he, their heads hit together, and the impact gave Mike quite a concussion, and he's still having some issues surrounding with that. So Chief Dexter is able to fill in on the life-type safety inspections, but as far as the
septic
and the sewer designs and stuff like that, I'm going to need to, because we have people waiting at this point, and I want Mike to be able to feel like he can just
take care of
get better, he's got to take care of his wife. And
I might want to reach out to another town. And
yeah, I'm not sure how that works, but I started looking into it, and I'm talking with, you know, Steve about it, the Health Officers Association and stuff like that, to see where we can maybe.
We might want to, I know in the past, I think we've reached out to Belmont.
Okay.
And the Belmont health officer in a crisis period did help us out.
I can ask. I think I know that gentleman. His name is Steve as well.
I think so. Yeah. Okay.
So and then I had a complaint that I need to speak with you guys about in non-public session. If we wanted to just take a minute to go over that under non-public 91A C, because it would affect somebody's reputation.
Yeah, we can go ahead and go ahead and do that. You want to do that right now?
That's the last thing I have as far as my town administrator's report was the complaint.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to grab another form.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Selectman President Olmstead here, Solotillo here, Jim Dick.
Yes.
Okay, I make a motion that we go into non-public.
Second.
And that was under 32A?
3C.
32C. Matters which, if discussed in public would likely affect adversely the reputation of any person other than a member of this board, unless such person requests an open meeting. This exception shall extend to any applicant for assistance or tax abatement or waiver of fee, fine, or other levy if based on inability to pay or poverty of the applicant. Okay. Roll call vote to enter non-public. Salatello?
Yeah.
Olmstead, yes. Dick?
Yes.
Remove public tape and...
6:41.
6:41.